Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us as we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page, and we have a couple of new features on the website. I think that they'll be of some interest to you, I think. We have put together the series of programs or segments that Beth McDonald, our AAA editor, has done for us since about October of last year. And you can go to the website, and there is an icon there, or an image, if you will, of Beth McDonald Consulting. And if you click on the right-hand side where it basically says, listen to AAA editor Beth McDonald from Tell Me Your Story, it'll take you to that page. And you can kind of get a feel for what she is offering, and you can get a feel for the kind of information that she brings to the table here on Tell Me Your Story, and maybe check and see how your life was going at that particular time, and how close, right on, or how far off she was. The other side of the image on the left-hand side is a link to her website, BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. So you can click on those two links and go to those particular websites. And right above that banner, if you will, is a link to comments that folks have made about Tell Me Your Story. It says what they're saying about TMYS. So encourage you to click there. We ask you to go to the schedules page to see who's coming up on the program. Go to the archives page to see who's been on and listen to those interviews. Click on the click to listen live icon next to the right of the navigation buttons, if you will. And that will bring up a player that will allow you to listen to the station we're on, as well as to listen to the program when it's live at 3 p.m. Pacific time. All right, with all that said, and my email address of richard@richarddugan.com, if that was too confusing for you, or you want me to shut up and just get on with the program, which I think I'll do. Today's program, we're going to we're going to check your points, your condenser, your plugs, your air filter, and if you like our work, you can bring your car in. We're going to have a one-minute energy tune-up. My guest is the author of the book, One-Minute Energy Tune-Up, Power Symbols for Balanced Energy. Her name is Cristalia Marie Cristalia. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you for having me, Richard. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fun.
I think so, too. We deal in symbols all the time. We're going to dive right into that particular aspect, and then we'll go backwards and get a little history. But even when we're reading the words on the page, even when I am reading One-Minute Energy Tune-Up, I am converting the symbols that we're calling the letters of the alphabet, or the punctuation, however you want to put that together, we're converting those into something that we can then speak and converse back and forth about, and hopefully have some communication as well as some understanding and comprehension of what the other is saying, let alone what we are saying. So we're dealing in symbols all the time, right?
Absolutely. It's, the whole world is totally symbolic everywhere we look.
And what I know about the Hebrew language, which is not a lot, what I do know is that each of the Hebrew letters in the alphabet, and I believe there are 22, each one of them has its own numeric assignment, mm-hmm. its own color assignment, its own tonal vibration assignment, if you will. And so when you start putting those together into words, it makes its own unique combination of letter, color, a color, tone, and numeric. And then you put those in together into sentences, etc., on infinitum, and you are creating an incredible thing. Now, when you translate the words from that language, using that as the example, into any other language, you lose all of that assignment, if you will. Is that a fair assessment of what we have done in a manner of speaking with a lot of languages? And that's kind of where we're going to dive in with your symbols. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a really fair assessment, because if you think about it, you're changing the whole energy of the image as well as the whole process. So absolutely, that's a real fair assessment. I like that analogy a lot.
Now, you have a set, and I have them right here in my hand, and I really do, ladies and gentlemen. You can hear them right there. I have a set of energy symbols, of power symbols, if you will. And, for example, I'm just going to – and I'm going to look at the back of one of these so that – I'm not even going to try to describe the symbol itself. Crown chakra. And that's basically what this particular symbol is. You also have cosmic connection chakra, God, universal intelligence connection chakra. It looks like they're all high energy and so on and so forth. How many symbols do you have at this particular time?
Well, actually, Richard, it's well over 400, but I don't have an exact count because I've stopped counting.
Okay. So now that we know how many, or that the fact that they continue to grow, how is it that they continue to grow? Where are you getting these from? What language, if you will? What source code of symbols are you getting this information from?
You know, it's funny. People ask me that all the time, and I don't try to define exactly where it comes from. I just say it comes from spirit.
Okay.
And so what happens is I go into a meditative state when someone asks me, do I have a symbol for whatever? And then I ask if there is a symbol. And then I ask my guide, spirit, whatever you want to call that, what the symbol looks like, what color it is, and how to draw it. So, yeah, I really don't have a name for that other than spirit as to where I get them from.
And how long have you been transmitting these symbols to paper?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because officially I started in early 2002 when I knew what they were. In fact, initially I didn't even know what they were. But looking back now, I discovered that as a child even, I was doodling these things all the time. I just had no idea of their power until 2002 when a medical intuitive, I was trying to get rid of a lump in a breast, and this medical intuitive said, you need to sit down and draw those images in your aura. And I basically said, yeah, right. You're a little crazy. And a couple days later, I started finding that I needed to draw. And so I sat and drew. I drew like 60 images that day, had no idea what most of them were for. And that was the beginning of the process.
Hmm. Now, are you an artist in and of yourself, or is this something that because they started coming in, you were sort of experience a form of guided, what do they call that handwriting?
Automatic writing?
Yeah, automatic writing in this case, because these do take on sort of a hieroglyphic type of feel to them.
They really do. It's funny, actually. My father was a professional draftsman, artist, and, you know, very professional about his work. And when we were kids, my sister was extremely good artist. And my dad poo-pooed her all the time, and she never took that. And I drew a picture of a rose one day. I was probably 8 or 9 years old. And he accused me of tracing it, so I started saying from that point on that I was no good at drawing. And for a long time, I would tell people, I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. So when Spirit started giving me these images, I first even went and asked professional people to redraw them properly, only we discovered they didn't work once we did that. But, yeah, I didn't consider myself an artist. And finally, a couple of really professional artists looked at me and said, this is your gift. This is your art. Even if it doesn't look perfect, it is your art, and it does have the energy it needs in it. So leave it alone.
So how did you go about it? Well, I understand when you say that they came from spirit. I understand that, and I'm going to make the assumption at this point, although I've always learned never to make assumptions, how dangerous that is, because yeah. I want to move into the aspect of determining how these symbols work and what they accomplish, what they achieve when they do work. So maybe let's go back to that first symbol, if you recall what that was. And even if not, just pick a symbol, does not matter. You're obviously told what it is, what type of energy it's going to generate. And then I'm sure you're given instructions on how to implement that activation.
Absolutely. So the one you picked first, I believe, was the crown chakra one.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter which one. They all come to me pretty much the same way. Basically, what I'm guided to do is draw the symbol, and I just literally start to see parts of it, and I'll put them on paper, and then I'll start to see another part, and I'll put that on paper. And when I'm all done, I basically send the energy of what it's supposed to be, because I've already been told what I'm drawing, what it's supposed to be to it. So I kind of focus my energy and transmit the energy into it as I'm drawing, as well as when I'm finished. And that basically finalizes it. How they work is they basically shift the body's energy. And let me just take a different analogy for you. I liked your analogy about the Hebrew language earlier. If you think about it, if we look at a smiley face, it affects our energy. We get happy. Or if we see a baby laughing and giggling, we get happy.
Mm-hmm.
But if we see, let's say, the swastika, for most of us here in the U.S. anyway, that gives us a negative feeling.
Yes.
So it's really no different. That's shifting our energy. Everything we really come in contact with shifts our energy. It's just that these are very guided to do specific things. So the crown chakra sits on, is right on the top of the head where the soft spot was when we were babies,
mm-hmm.
and it's our opening to spirit.
Hmm.
So what that symbol basically does is it opens that energy center up so the flow of energy from spirit can come through us. And what I like to say is, if you have that energy center shut down, think of it as though you're trying to pull in the energy of spirit, only you've unplugged the light bulb or the plug from the lamp.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get the lamp to come on.
Right.
It's kind of that same thing. It's like this opens that channel back up so the energy of spirit can flow into your body.
Now, last week's guest, Adara Andriana, who wrote her book, Loving Yourself Free of Charge, spoke specifically about re-engaging or unblocking the flow of energy. And you have these symbols that are designed for that very purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have to say this is humorous from my standpoint, because as you're talking, I'm going, okay, I want to take a look at the crown chakra, again, the symbol again. And so I'm looking at the backs of them, and I'm flipping through all the cards, and I'm reshuffling and reshuffling. Well, when I had the packet with the symbols in it upright, that was what was on top. The symbol was looking at me, the crown chakra. So I take them out of the packet. I flip them backwards so I can read the words, not even realizing that, okay, if you flip it over, guess what's on the bottom now? The crown chakra card. And yet I'm flipping through all the cards going, okay, well, apparently these cards aren't working real well for me because I didn't pick up on that. But I'm looking at this, all of these cards. Now, there is a similarity to all of these cards. Obviously, there's a circle encompassing each one, an outer circle. And then at the four, we'll call them the corners. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, 2, 5, 7, and 10 o'clock, or 11 maybe, 10 o'clock on a clock face. You have what looks like, to me, the letter E. Is that a letter, or is that just part of the symbol?
Well, actually, this is kind of a fun story to tell, because I had just been using the symbols without the circle, without the little E's, on myself. And I walked into my nutritionist / doctor / live self specialist, and she did a test this one morning, and she said to me, "You have cancer in your blood, and you need to do something to get rid of it." So she already knew I did the symbol, so I said, okay, I'll just draw a symbol and we'll get rid of it. And long story short, I stopped at the medical intuitive who I'd mentioned earlier, and I'd already gotten the image by the time I was driving back. And I said to her, I think I've already cleared it. She was talking to the other woman on the phone at the time. And she's like, you have, but you haven't locked it in. And she said, it's something to do with this thing that looks like an E. So I went home to meditate, and I got that if I put those little things that look like E's in the corners and then drew the gold circle around it, that would seal the energy of the image into my body so that it would hold the energy. And so that's where that all came from, and it started working really well. And by that was on a Thursday. On the following Tuesday, my blood was totally clear.
Wow. I'm looking at and I'm focusing on the crown chakra because that was the first one I pulled up, so I guess I'll stick with that one. And the thought, I'm looking at this symbol, the bottom part of the symbol inside the circle. You have this what appears to be a red or maybe maroon type of circle with a blue dot in the center. And then the thought occurred to me, okay, well, yeah, this makes sense. It's the heart chakra because you have these tendrils coming up off of each side. I'm thinking, oh, well, that's hair. Oh, well, that's the head then. Then it must be the crown chakra. And then you have sort of an upside down teardrop coming up out of its sort of gold type of symbol inside that. And it's funny when I take a look. Pretty much anything for me is a Rorschach test. You give me clouds. You know, I'll look at parts of the ocean when you see the kelp floating by, fog floating across the mountains, I'll see stuff, you know.
Right.
And kind of strange, but nonetheless, we are all, again, those are symbols. I mean, and what's interesting is we will create in our mind's eye, in our imagination, pretty much anything. Now, what I just described to you, and you know what the crown chakra symbol looks like, that may have sounded kind of strange to you because you've always thought of it in a different way. And what that brings to mind is you mentioned, for example, the swastika. How and the level of charged energy that has for most of us who know the history.
Right.
But for someone in present day who either A, doesn't know the history, or someone prior to the use of that symbol in that period of history in the 20th century or 1900s, they wouldn't have any points of reference as to its level of chargedness because they wouldn't know the story behind the symbol. There's
right.
a story behind every one of these symbols, correct?
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what we want to talk more about, and we're going to do that as we continue here. My guest is Crystalia Marie. She's written a book, and we're going to talk a little bit about yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking way too fast for my mouth. 1 minute energy tune-up. We're going to do that when we come back from our segment with Beth McDonald. But first, we're going to take a short break. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and I ask you to stay right where you are.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are here talking with Beth McDonald, our AAA editor, and we are talking about the 1 minute energy tune-up with Crystalia Marie. We're going to get back to her and her symbols, her power symbols for balanced energy, which you can achieve. Yes, you can achieve energy balance. Of course, I have to learn, Beth, to kind of slow down a little bit because it's like, okay, I could quite literally, not euphemistically, literally get my tongue tied up in my teeth and that'd be the end of this career.
Yes.
I'd be doing this on TV with sign language. But we were talking about symbols and even sign language is a series of symbols. But let us talk about what's going on in the skies above us and in terms of energy fields and what have you, because that's kind of what we're dealing with today.
Yes. And this is the time of year where there's a big downshift, a big gear shift down into the lower gears. We're moving into the harvest season. The holiday of Lammas is on the 2nd, ironically the same day that the retrograde starts, and then Ramadan is also beginning right in there as well. And so it's very much a time to be more mindful mm-hmm. of your energy field, of the energy of others, and making sure that you're connected and conscious.
And that's what I'd like to have us focus on is when we hit these phases, which we will hit time and time again over the course of the cycles that we go through, that Mercury in retrograde is, and this is how we kind of want to talk about it, it's an opportunity for each one of us to be more self-aware of what we're doing, how we're acting and reacting.
Yes. How others see us and how that's different from how we see ourselves, and how, you know, connection to spirit is always the answer.
Okay. So we have, I'm always looking for patterns in things.
Yes.
As I was sharing with Cristalia, as we were talking about her symbols, I mean, that's really what we're focusing on today. I was looking at a one-year moon calendar. This is provided by one of these companies that provides us with features, Earth and Sky, and they start with the 12 months from left to right, but they start with the first across the top. And so the moons are at a diagonal going from January to December.
Wow.
And I noticed that the first six new moons, just based upon our calendar, are in the first early part of the month, and the last six or seven moons new moons are in the last half of the last 6 months, and that the full moons diagonally go like from, let's say, the 17th or 18th of January up through 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11 to around the 10th of December. I just noticed that pattern, that diagonal pattern based upon our current calendar. And so I'm wondering, are we headed towards any one of these moons? You said the second was sort of the beginning of harvest, if you will. Lammas?
Yes. There is a new moon on Saturday the 30th. Well, today, actually.
Right.
Saturday the 30th.
The 30th, yeah.
Today. There's a new moon, and that kind of kicks things off. You know, Lammas is the pagan Celtic holiday that celebrated the first fruits of the harvest. And so, you know, the new moons are new beginnings.
Right.
And harvest is a closure of sorts, but it's also a beginning of other sorts. Whenever we're harvesting, you know, we're also realizing, okay, this came in really well. Like for us, it's always zucchini and yellow squash. We got a ton of that, you know, but some of the other things that we like didn't come in as well.
Right, right.
And in agrarian cultures where you were storing for the future, this was a time of assessment where you really had to say, okay, the stuff we got is great, awesome, thank you, God, and then the stuff that we think we're going to need to get us through the winter, we need to start assessing and planning for that.
Right. So it's a new part of the cycle.
It's a new part of a new cycle.
To sustain life through the dark
winter.
Period of the year, the winter, as we then come back around the cycle into spring. So, all right, well, we have retrograde coming. We have a new moon coming today, and then we have Lammas coming up on the 2nd of August.
Yes.
And we will be talking to you again next Saturday.
Awesome.
And we encourage people to go to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, which they can get to quite easily now.
From your website.
From my
Thank
website. You.
You
see the banner there, and the left
Beautiful.
Side, you click on it, and it is to your website, Beth McDonald Consulting. The right side of the banner takes you to a page on our website, RichardDugan.com, where you can listen to these reports. And as I was sharing at the beginning of the program, Beth, people can sort of take a listen and say, okay, well, how was my life based upon what she was talking about? What was I going through then? And sort of track how you traveled through the days, weeks, and months.
Awesome.
Interesting thing to do. Beth, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Richard.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we encourage you to stay with us.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. We're here with Cristalia Marie, and we are talking about power symbols Basically, we're talking about the one-minute energy tune-up. Now, Marie, Crystalia Marie, let me ask you a question about the one-minute energy tune-up. What? First of all, we're all looking for sustained energy, but I'm going to guess that's not really realistic, that we need to have a way of sort of just kind of re-energizing from time to time. Because if we maintained a high energy level, it would probably burn us out, wouldn't it?
Oh, I would say it absolutely would burn us out if we kept that high energy all the time. Although I have to say that people call me an energy bunny most of the time because I probably only sleep about 5 hours a day.
Well, this is something that I know that, as I say, we're all looking for that charge. Everybody, I mean, people are taking stuff. They're drinking things, you know, energy drinks and alike. And I could list the names and so forth. But I have to say that there are times when I am driving by a Starbucks and people here in Santa Barbara, you have to parallel park if you can't get into the parking lot, say it's full. And I have to say, in my own judgment, which I kind of need to shift out of, I say, all right, because some of these people don't know how to parallel park. But in the mornings, they're trying to get in there to get their jolt, to get their energy, their charge to start their day. And I think, oh, my God, you addict. You can't even parallel park. You know, well, again, that's my judgment, and I am sorry. But I have my own. But I don't hold up traffic. I mean, that's another whole issue. But the point is that we're all looking for some way of sustaining that energy level or getting back there so that we can accomplish our life's purpose, the passion that we have in our lives. These symbols can help us to do that.
They absolutely can. The real key, though, to keeping the energy open is to do some other work. So I've had people, though, that will pick up one of these images, like the main one, which is called the chakra opening and balancing, which just does a quick tune-up. I've had people pick that up and say, I felt stressed. I thought I was just about ready to crash and go to bed, and now I've got energy to finish up what I needed to do before I go to bed. So it shifts the energy that quickly. The challenge is if you don't deal with the emotional cause that caused you to shut down the energy to begin with, you kind of have the same effect as the coffee cup if you're, you know, back to that caffeine fix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're gonna have a crash again because sooner or later, whatever triggers you to shut down an area is going to trigger you again unless you do that kind of work. But it is a nice, quick little fix that's not toxic and it's not caffeine. It's good. It's safe and for your body. And I gave up caffeine a lot of years ago because I had a heart. They thought I was having a heart attack, actually, but it turned out it made my heart race because I had drank so much of it for years. And you know, I don't have any of those peaks and valleys anymore because I don't drink caffeine.
And I as a kid growing up, bicycling everywhere in Arizona and Phoenix. And, I mean, sodas were, sadly, my mainstay. I know how bad they were and are. And so, you know, those are things that I need to take a look at myself because even I know that not only is caffeine as far as the temporary energy boost bad for you, but it also dehydrates you.
And absolutely. And so even if you're not,
Go ahead.
Oh, and I will admit, I was a 15 Pepsi a day girl at one point
wow.
in my life. So,
well, you still have me beat, and I still drank a lot. the whole now this 1 minute energy tune up. What do we need to accomplish this tune up in 60 seconds?
In 60 seconds, actually, it doesn't even take 60 seconds. It takes about 20 seconds. If I'm out speaking in an audience situation, what I will do is actually take a person, bring them up to the front of the room, and use muscle checking to determine where they have energy centers blocked. And for the audience of people that don't know what muscle checking is, it's just this method of determining the strength of a muscle to determine whether something is a positive or a negative. And so I go through each energy center, figure out which ones are blocked for the person, we write those down. And basically, without them looking at the image at all, I ask them to hold it against the skin of their non-dominant hand with the image in it, in their hand. I'll have them hold it for 20 to 30 seconds. I intuitively know when they're reopened. Then I just ask them to shut it down. So again, they still have not looked at this image, and then we just retest the areas that were blocked. And I've never run into anybody yet that's not open and balanced at that point. So their energy flows. Think of it this way. If you've got a car that's missing a spark plug, it's either not going to run at all or it's going to run really badly. And it's kind of that same idea. If one of these energy centers is not, the energy is not flowing, it's got to work around it to get to the next part of the body. And so that's what this is doing, is it's opening it so the flow of energy through the body is nice and smooth and energized. So that's about how long it takes, 20 seconds or so.
I learned about applied kinesiology back in the 80s. And it was one of the most incredibly easy, most easily described methods. You could use this on anything and almost everything. It is actually the equivalent of, well, it's not just the equivalent, because you are tapped into that energy source, the still small voice, as we like to call it. And I have said this on occasions time and time again on this program and to other people, that if you listen to and follow the promptings of that still small voice inside, it will never, ever, ever, ever lead you astray. Never. And so this applied kinesiology is nothing more than more of a physical tapping into that through this process of putting your thumb and your index finger together and then looping your other hand's thumb and index finger through it, so you have like two links in a chain connected. And I was taught that you ask a question that you know the answer to, that is yes. And when you pull the fingers, I believe that's when they come apart. When the answer is no, they stay together. Or I guess you can kind of work that out. But
I always do it the opposite way.
The opposite way. Okay, it probably is the opposite way. So when it comes apart, it's no. When it stays linked, it's yes. There's another form of kinesiology where you put your arm straight out, and the process is applied by another person who then asks you some questions, and then they push down gently on your arm. If your arm does not go down, that's a yes. If it does go down, that's a no. That's just another form.
And that's the form I'm using when I'm doing it as a demonstration in front of an audience.
And you have that described in your book, Power Symbols for Energy, for Balanced Energy, regarding the one-minute energy tune-up. Is there a specific symbol of yours that would be better than any other for conducting this tune-up?
Actually, it really depends on how blocked somebody is. But typically, I start them with the chakra opening and balancing symbol, and that's just for the general tune-up. And then if there's an area specifically that they need to work on, that's when they pick that symbol. So let me just give an example.
Mm-hmm.
If the person's having a lot of financial problems and they don't feel like they can support themselves, through questions, I will get that they should work on their root chakra. So I would suggest that in addition to the main tune-up, to work with that specific symbol to help open that area to feel loved and supported. Now, there's other pieces of the process to really get past all the issues, but that's where they would get started.
I think that there are so many wonderful tools that are so simple, so easy, and I have to guess, Crystalia, that sometimes people don't like that because our minds don't focus or function on that simplistic level, do they?
They don't, but everybody's looking for that instant fix, too. So, and this isn't totally an instant fix. It helps with the energy, but they still have to do some work. But, yeah, a lot of people are skeptical if they think it's too fast. But what's fascinating is, you know, I was skeptical when I started getting these. I'm going to just be honest. I was like, yeah, right, you know. But what's been fascinating on my journey with this is I'll have people pick up an image and say, what was that? It felt like a zipper went from the base of my spine to the top of my head and out my head. And I'm like, oh, let's see. Oh, you picked up the chakra opening symbol.
Yeah.
You know, so I've had that experience with arnica symbol where a woman tapped the symbol, and she said, the pain just went away in my shoulder. What was that? And it happened to be the symbol for arnica, which takes away pain.
Hmm. Now, I have, once again, in my hand the crown chakra symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do I... Take me through the steps. Okay, what do I need to do here in the 20 seconds that we have here that we're going to allot for this? What do I need to do right now?
All you basically do is take that image, hold the image so it's against the palm of your non-dominant hand.
Okay, and the palm, so it's face down, in other words.
That's correct.
Okay.
So the image is against the skin.
All right, so it's face down.
And I typically tell people it's best to close your eyes and just take a deep breath or two.
That's one. And two.
And typically that's all you need to do.
And the crown chakra symbol, its corresponding, we'll call them effects or effect, is what?
I'm sorry, it's corresponding to the top of your head.
Yes, and what am I going to, what can I expect from using this card in that manner?
Okay.
What's the result, I guess, is what I want to say.
Well, typically, in this case, you're just going to feel much more connected to spirit. So you might find that you can quiet your mind a little bit more, although the third eye one does more of that. Actually, some other fun things happen with the crown chakra. If you've got lots of aches and pains in your body, you might notice that they'll be gone. If you tend to feel a bit depressed, you might suddenly feel a little bit lighter and less depressed.
Mm.
And sometimes people will just feel a tingling there. Now, I sense that your crown was probably open before we started this, so you probably don't feel a whole lot different.
No, not a lot, but I can any additional opening of the flow is definitely helpful, because what I have found is that, and this is kind of strange, after the interviews are over, I'll go home, or my wife will be out shopping and she'll come pick me up, and then we'll head home and she'll say, what'd you talk about? I don't know. The interview's over. It's done. And I will remember it subconsciously. For example, I'll bring up things that we've talked about in this program in subsequent interviews. Just as I brought up from last week's interview something from that interview in this week's interview.
Right.
But as far as I asked her this and she said that, you know, I'm not writing my memoirs as I'm doing the interviews, and it doesn't seem that it's really all that important. I mean, I'm taking it in where I need to be taking it in.
Right.
Just as those who are listening in the same fashion are taking in what they need. And as I like to use, there's a song that says, take what you need and leave the rest. I can't remember the title of the song, but that's really the bottom line with this radio program. With each interview, we encourage our listeners, take what you need and leave the rest. We're not asking you to embrace Crystallia's symbols 100%. I'm not even sitting here promoting it. This is not an infomercial in that context. This is a program designed to give you information that you can use or not use as you see fit for yourself, to achieve the things that you want to achieve, to make your dreams come true. As we say, Crystallia, we bring you choices, in this case, the balancing the symbols, the power symbols, and the knowledge of those choices, the understanding of how they work, how to utilize them, and just what we just did, put the symbol face down in the palm of your non-dominant hand, focus on that, and then breathe a few times and close your eyes and let the universe guide you in that respect. That's it. And now you do with it what you will.
Right.
And then we are going to generate some incredible things. You know, it's interesting too, in going back to the discussion of symbols, and of course in the news, and we don't usually talk about news stories here because they can get that kind of stuff before and after this program and at many other sources. And so we don't want to bring the energy level of this show down. At the same time, there are events that are unfolding of an economic nature in this country specifically that a lot of people are really freaked out about. And I read something just the other day that, not that I was freaked out, mind you, but I'm going, I'm not really concerned, but it's like, you know, this is real interesting. These people are playing games back on the East Coast, and they're supposed to be doing their job, doing our work on that level. And yet they seem to be more interested in saving their own group's neck, so to speak. But then I read something in a document that is supposed to be used to govern this country that basically says, you know what, you guys really don't have to do anything because it's already done right for you right there in that document. It says what you're supposed to do. But you're not doing it. The symbol is right there in front of you. That's what happens to us a lot of times. Do you ever find as you're moving through your life, Crystalia, that you will see something? I'll see animals go by. We saw when we were driving out to a place called San Ynez, north and west of where we live in Santa Barbara, a hawk floating literally over the roadway. He's probably a 75 to 100 or 200 feet high, but we could see him, wings spread, and he was just hovering there, dead center over the roadway, passing over us in the opposite direction. And I wonder what that means. Again, there's these symbols. People see these things and they create the story around them that gives the symbol meaning and power. Is that how a symbol works?
Yeah, actually, I think that's as much how it works as anything. You know, I think that part of it is the fact that, you know, I'm charging it with that intent. And if you think about it, like we talked about the swastika and people not knowing before what it meant if they'd seen that, a lot of it probably is consciousness, if anything. So the more people that see the image and are told that's what it's for, the more it becomes a conscious thing. I can't explain it other than that, really, because when you think about how, let's just use a totally different example. We learned back many years ago that cigarette smoking killed us, but hardly anybody died of lung cancer back then. The more that became part of our consciousness, that in the numbers of people dying from cancer, from cigarettes, got larger. So some of it's probably that. It becomes that co-created consciousness.
So do you think it's possible, and I kind of know the answer to this question, that if we hadn't taken on that story of that symbol, that's what we'll refer to the cigarette as, that few, if any, would have died of lung cancer even to this day? You think that's a possibility?
I definitely believe that.
Now, again, we're not advocating whether it's alcohol or anything else, you know, in that respect, because our bodies are extremely important. That's referred to as a temple in some writings and so forth. It's the vehicle that we get around in, and we want to have it running optimally so that, again, we can accomplish the things that we want to here on this earth. But by the same token, because I've often asked the question, if everything is energy, then how is it that anything can hurt us if we're all made of the same stuff?
Right. And I firmly believe that it's because we take on that belief. And I'm going to use a different example because I like to play with this stuff. And as far as the cigarette smoking, I think that if someone really, really, really and knew that they would not be damaged by smoking cigarettes, they probably could. And I, too, would not recommend it because of what's been co-created as a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Sedona a few years ago, though, mm-hmm. and everybody was going around pointing at the planes going over with chemtrails and talking about how they were dumping all these horrible chemicals on us and how their kids had allergies. And all these people were sick and coughing and all of this. And I'm like, oh, you mean those beautiful paintings in the sky? You know, I just breathe clean oxygenated air. I never was sick and they were all running around sick. So I said, you know, I think it was just I chose not to believe that whatever that was, whether there's any truth to chemtrails or not, and I'm not suggesting there is, that I wasn't going to take on that belief. But I've studied a lot and worked a lot at not taking on beliefs as well, so I'm not suggesting, again, that people can easily do this. They've done really work to be able to do it, but it's a lot of us have taken on a lot of beliefs based on what's been co-created by everybody out there, kind of like the 100th monkey syndrome.
Yeah. A lot of people are using that that as an example these days, the 100th monkey, in terms of where we're headed. But again, it all depends upon where you want to go. And I think that's the other thing, too. It's as if we have there's a study going on, and you have group A and you have group B. But neither of them apparently knows about the other, and they're just independently going off and doing their own thing. And it's like both sides wish that whoever's keeping them from accomplishing their task as a collective would join them. But they can't seem to make contact with that other group of people. And it's not like we are trying to manipulate the universe, or I shouldn't say the universe, to manipulate people, individuals, to go our way, because they have to go their own way. But that seems a little contradictory in a sense, that this is the kind of world I want, Crystalia, But the person next to me doesn't want that. So how do these two worlds coexist? You know? I mean, if we create our own reality.
I think that the real thing here when you start talking about it coexisting is to get to the point of, and this is part of my newest platform, is getting to the point of loving yourself and then loving everyone else in their own, where they're at, and respecting everybody for who and what they are. And that's our biggest challenge, is we're constantly not only judging ourselves, we're constantly judging everybody else as well.
Mm.
And so it's really getting back to connecting with spirit, which in my opinion is pure love, and getting to the point of holding that centered space of pure love within yourself and then with everybody else that you're
right
connecting with.
Crystalia Marie is my guest. It is the 1 Minute Energy Tune-Up. Power symbols for balanced energy. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want to ask you if you can hang around following the end of our live broadcast to talk about more of this. And those who want to hear the continuation of our conversation can go to richarddugan.com, and then they can click on the play button associated with this interview that we are conducting right now and hear the rest of the story, as it were. Would you be up to doing that?
That would be great, Richard. I'd love to.
Let me ask you before we do wrap up, who is Crystalia Marie?
Crystalia Marie is just one more person on the planet that is spiritual, and I think we all are spiritual, that just really wants to make a difference for other people.
And why this? Why now?
Why this and now? You know, it's, I guess, probably because I struggled a lot for many, many years, and I just feel like it's time to give back and make a difference. And I think that as evolution seems to be speeding up, or maybe it's just because we're all just getting older and we think that, it's time to really make a difference on this planet.
Go ahead.
I feel compelled.
And 1 Minute energytuneup.com is the website. And people,
right. And
go ahead.
They can sign up there and get a copy of my newsletter, which gives some samples of the images and affirmations, so they get a feel for how the work works. And, of course, they can also pick up a copy of the book.
And that, again, is the 1 Minute Energy Tune-Up, Power Symbols for Balanced Energy. And my guest today has been Crystalia Marie, and she is the author. And, again, the website is 1 Minute Energy Tune-Up. Strangely enough, in this day and age, folks, that's all one word. 1MinuteEnergyTuneUp.com. That's the website, and we encourage you to go there. In the last 30 seconds, have you any final words to say to those who may not be able to access our afterview?
Well, I think the real key here for people is to just connect with spirit and do that in whatever way honors themselves, their beliefs, and all of that, and stop judging themselves and others. I think that's really my biggest key message for people.
We encourage you to check out the symbols. I think they're kind of cool. Now, obviously, we're all going to put our little tweak on them. I would have used, in my own personal opinion, I would have used much more vibrant colors. But, hey, they're your symbols, not mine. and I can at least use them and have some fun with them. And I thank you so much for joining us on this live edition. Stay with us. We're going to talk more about the power symbols for balanced energy and the 1 minute energy tune-up. I'm Richard Dugan, and you're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you those choices. And we encourage you to stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story. Until next week, love to all. And as we continue here on the after view, as I like to call it, we are with, of course, my guest from the last hour's program, Crystalia Marie, author of The 1 Minute Energy Tune-Up. And Crystalia, I wanted to ask you some additional questions, not only about the symbols, but about yourself. Now,
okay.
Obviously, would you say that these symbols came to you, obviously, from spirit or from the universe? Would you say that they were channeled, or is that not something that you do?
Actually, I would say absolutely they are channeled. It's funny, people say, well, don't you ask who you're channeling them from? And I'm like, I just know it's a really good high source, and I actually suspect that it's more than one source at times. So, you know, yeah, they're absolutely channeled. It's just that some people don't understand that term, so I tend not to go there.
And how did all of this start? I mean, did one day suddenly you just had this impression, this guidance, if you will? Have you always been interested in metaphysics and the spirit world, or was there a catalyst, an event that took place that sent you down this path to where you are today?
Well, you know, it's funny. It probably goes back further than I realize, but in my 20s, I learned to use hypnosis. And after that, started doing other metaphysical things, kind of, you know, playing with it. And then I got married in the 80s, and the guy I married actually told me he was into Casey and all this metaphysical stuff, and then laughed at me when I started doing it. And I became what I called later a closet metaphysician, because now I couldn't do it in front of him because he'd laugh at me, but I was intrigued. So when we split up, I really started digging into metaphysics a lot more.
I think the universe has a 2x4 with his name on it. that usually is what happens. I've always found that, and fortunately I haven't had too many experiences, but early on in my metaphysical musings, if I get a little too haughty for myself, the universe has a way of bringing along humbling experiences that bring me back to where I ought to be in context with the rest of the universe. So that is just kind of the way it works. How long have you been, shall we say, transmitting and drawing and making available these symbols?
Okay, well, actually, I started drawing them in 2002, but what I wanted to say is, as I learned more metaphysics, I got much more holistic in my whole healing.
Ah.
I got offended by what some doctors were saying and started really researching before I allowed them to do things.
I'm shocked.
And so when I discovered I had a lump the size of a golf ball in one of my breasts in 2001, I refused to go seek out any help from the medical community.
Mm.
And so I started, I had studied under somebody else in Houston, her name is Dawn Clark, and I had studied her work for a year. And so I started using that, and that wasn't doing the whole thing. And so I started seeking other people and met this medical intuitive and worked with her for a while. And this lump would change shape. It never changed sizes. It would change shape once in a while, but it never went away. And basically one day she said, you need to start drawing these images. It's floating in your aura. I thought she was crazy. And so I sat down and started drawing. A few days later when I was meditating, I started seeing them. So I said, I guess I should draw these things. And about 3 weeks afterwards, I was in a meditation and I had this one image that I had given to the medical intuitive. She had gotten bit by a brown recluse spider and she'd healed it the wrong way. And so we needed to pull the poison out. So I said, well, that symbol's for that. So she used it for that. So I'm meditating and there I get this kind of laughter from spirit saying, you know, you need to use that symbol to remove that lump from your breast. And I'm like, yeah, right. So in the meditation, anyway, I guess I finally listened to the process that was being explained to me, and I sat down, and in 20 minutes, I did this process, and the lump was gone.
Wow.
And that got my attention.
I can imagine. I can imagine. I mean, everything is made up of energy. And it does seem as though we're beginning to understand what that really means more and more even. And I'm going to call you and I the common people, because I don't have a degree in anything from a formal educational institution of higher learning. But I do understand that if we can really, and I love the word, we can really grok what that means, that we can just imagine those symbols, just as you received them in meditation, we can just bring them up into our recall, and boom, we can take care of whatever we need to right now. It's done. We don't have to wait a day, a week, a minute. It's just instantaneous because it's all energy, and we're just changing its form.
Absolutely. I had one incident where I got a bladder infection. I was visiting some people, and I had to get in my car and drive for 3 hours. And if you ever had a severe bladder infection, you're not getting in a car to drive for 3 hours. So I'm like, okay, I have to get in the car, Spirit. You need to help me out here. So I sat down and asked what the image would be, and sure enough, I got the image and fixed the bladder problem in 20 minutes, and I was in the car, and no problem, never had the problem again.
Wow. And so, I mean, that's how easy it can be if we will just reconnect.
Yeah. Now, as I said, there is some pieces, though. I actually look into, like, Louise Hay's book on that's called Heal Thy Body, which kind of explains what the emotional root cause is. So mm-hmm. I try to look at that and release yeah. anything there that resonates with me as I read it. You know, look at what other emotional things could be related, and then, you know, release those. So that's what the 20 minutes is all about.
Yeah. You know, I heard someone say once that I wish we could raise our children without all of the baggage that we as adults have to deal with and then work through and get rid of. You know, and I know that there are some instances somewhere in places around the world where that is happening, where kids are not being raised up and traumatized by various things that happened to most of us, to where they don't have to clear this stuff as adults because they haven't built it up.
Right.
And go ahead.
I was going to say that would be nice. Unfortunately, we don't do that here. I like I like what Neil Donald Walsh said in one of his books. I think it was him anyway, in one of the Conversation with God books at one point. And that was that it was always intended that the people that had the children were not the ones that raised them, that the elders raised the children. And then as you became wiser, you raised the next group of your children's children. And, you know, in some ways, I think that would really help a lot, because I think as you got more wisdom, you probably wouldn't do some of the things you did to your kids.
You know, I have no human children. I have animals. They're still my children. But when you said that, I flashed back to a time back in the early 1990s. I bought my first house with my first wife, and there was a basketball pole that was out there. And I was a big Phoenix Suns fan, and I wanted to buy a backboard and paint it up purple and orange with the basketball symbol and all of that. And there were kids in the neighborhood who liked to play basketball. I thought, well, great, I have a double wide driveway. Makes a great basketball court. And so I put that together. I painted it up. I loved it. It was great. I put it up, and we would play games. I mean, I even sprained my ankle real bad once in one game, but, you know, we still had a lot of fun, which is what I really tried to instill in them. You know, everybody wanted to play by somebody else's rules, you know, the NBA rules or this place's rules. I said, no, there are no rules on this court. You are here. We are here to have fun in playing this game. This is not a competitive thing. It's just to be out here and have some fun together. And for the most part, that worked out until one morning I came out and the rim had been pulled from the fiberglass backboard and just hung there. And it was at that point that I said, well, apparently somebody didn't care much for that. And unfortunately, that was the end of that. But that event for me, even at the age of, I think I was 20, 33, 34, something like that, was still kind of traumatic in the sense that I really felt good about what we were doing and helping the kids in the neighborhood, and I was having fun out playing and kind of staying fit. And then this happens, and it's like, I'm not going to put myself through this. I'm not going to fix this. I'm going to bring it down. Because it was just too hard. It just hurt so much that somebody would have such disrespect.
Right. Yeah, that is really, though, exactly what happens to us starting when we're really young. In fact, some studies show that even in utero, that children are already, you know, getting impressions and picking up the anxiety and the beliefs of the parents before they even come into the world.
Can these symbols be used by, let's just say, by me on someone else, or is this an individual thing in that respect?
Well, actually, when I work with clients, I actually transmit the energy of them to them before, and then at the end of the session, when we're done, whatever symbols I use, then I put them in a document and send them to them so they have them. But yeah, I transmit that energy to them. I don't recommend that anyone do any healing work on someone that didn't ask for that.
Right.
But once you've got, you know, permission to do it, yeah, absolutely, you can transmit that energy to anyone else.
Well, this is, I think it's an extraordinary opportunity people have to experience what you have provided, both through the power cards, the power symbol cards, and also the 1 minute energy tune-up. And the book is available through your website, 1minuteenergytuneup.com. And that's how people can get in touch with you as well. They can email you if they have questions, or get in touch with you. Or is there an opportunity to maybe do any kind of one-on-ones with people?
I do one-on-one sessions with people. My bigger goal is to empower people to do their own healing. But when someone's in a crisis situation and they can't wait, then that's when I encourage them to have a one-on-one with me. Otherwise, I encourage them to pick up some of my other products and learn how to do their own healing for themselves, because it's really about empowering people.
Well, I want to thank you for hanging around after the program to talk more about this. And have you anything new coming out in the near future?
Actually, my newest book coming out, as soon as I have an opportunity to get it out, is called Stop the Abuse, Love Yourself, which isn't much about the symbols, but brings them back around to healing and loving yourself.
Mm. Well, let's when that does come out, let's talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Again,
yeah, this was great, Richard.
Well, thank you. My guest is Crystalia Marie. Again, the book is 1 Minute Energy Tune-Up, The Power Symbols for Balanced Energy. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, The Afterview.